Chapter 6, Crime Before the Flood. Those who honored and feared to offend God at first felt the curse but lightly, while those who turned from God and trampled upon His authority felt the effects of the curse more heavily, especially in stature and nobleness of form. The descendants of Seth were called the sons of God, the descendants of Cain the sons of men. As the sons of God mingled with the sons of men, they became corrupt, and by intermarriage with them lost through the influence of their wives their peculiar holy character, and united with the sons of Cain in their idolatry. Many cast aside the fear of God and trampled upon His commandments. But there were a few who did righteousness, who feared and honored their Creator. Noah and his family were among the righteous few. The wickedness of man was so great and increased to such a fearful extent that God repented that He had made man upon the earth, for He saw that the wickedness of man was great and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The curse did not change at once the appearance of the earth. It was still rich in the bounty God had provided for it. There was gold and silver in abundance. The race of men then living were of great stature and possessed wonderful strength. The trees were vastly larger and far surpassing in beauty and perfect proportions anything mortals can now look upon. The wood of these trees was a fine grain and hard substance, in this respect more like stone. It required much more time and labor, even of that powerful race, to prepare the timber for building than it requires in this degenerate age to prepare trees that are now growing upon the earth, even with the present weaker strength men now possess. These trees were of great durability and would know nothing of decay for very many years. A heavy double curse, first in consequence of Adam's transgression and second because of the murder committed by Cain, was resting upon the earth. Yet the mountains and hills were still lovely. Upon the highest elevations grew majestic trees, rising to a lofty height, their branches spreading to a great distance on every side, while the plains were covered with verdure and appeared like a vast garden of flowers. Some of the hills were covered with trees of beauty, and vines climbing the stately trees were loaded with grapes, while beautiful flowers filled the air with their fragrance. But notwithstanding the richness and beauty of the earth, yet when compared with its state before the curse was pronounced upon it, there was apparent evidence of sure and certain decay. The people used the gold, silver, precious stones, and choice wood in building houses for themselves, each striving to excel the other. They beautified and adorned their houses and lands with the most ingenious works, and provoked God by their wicked deeds. They formed images to worship and taught their children to regard these pieces of workmanship made with their own hands as gods and to worship them. They did not choose to think of God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and rendered no grateful thanks to Him who had provided them all the things which they possessed. They even denied the existence of the God of heaven and glorified in and worshipped the works of their hands. They corrupted themselves with those things which God had placed upon the earth for man's benefit.
Please turn this tape over now to continue this message on Side B.
Spiritual Gifts, Volume 3, Tape 1B, page 63. They prepared for themselves beautiful walks overhung with fruit trees of every description. Under these majestic and lovely trees, with their widespread branches, which were green from the commencement of the year to its close, they placed their idols of worship. Whole groves, because of the shelter of their branches, were dedicated to their idol gods and made attractive for the people to resort to for their idolatrous worship. They corrupted themselves with those things which God had placed upon the earth for man's benefit. Instead of doing justice to their neighbors, they carried out their unlawful wishes. They had a plurality of wives, which was contrary to God's wise arrangement. In the beginning, God gave to Adam one wife, showing to all who should live upon the earth His order and law in that respect. The transgression and fall of Adam and Eve brought sin and wretchedness upon the human race, and man followed his own carnal desires and changed God's order. The more men multiplied wives to themselves, the more they increased in wickedness and unhappiness. If one chose to take the wives or cattle or anything belonging to his neighbor, he did not regard justice or right, But if he could prevail over his neighbor by reason of strength or by putting him to death, he did so and exulted in his deeds of violence. They loved to destroy the lives of animals. They used them for food and thus increased their ferocity and violence and caused them to look upon the blood of human beings with astonishing indifference. But if there was one sin above another which called for the destruction of the race by the flood, it was the base crime of amalgamation of man and beast, which defaced the image of God and caused confusion everywhere. God purposed to destroy by a flood that powerful, long-lived race that had corrupted their ways before Him. He would not suffer them to live out the days of their natural life, which would be hundreds of years. It was only a few generations back when Adam had access to the tree which was to prolong life. After his disobedience, he was not suffered to eat of the tree of life and perpetuate a life of sin. In order for man to possess an endless life, he must continue to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Deprived of that tree, his life would gradually wear out.